Kids do a great job, don't they? Yeah. I've said it over Dylan many times, but I really believe that I believe God's hands on all these kids, okay? You know, just as a young Samuel was brought to the temple, he kept hearing his name spoken, Shimaway, and he would come into Eli and he would say, you know, are you calling me? I'm not calling you. You know, that went on 2-3 times, Shimaway. Shim away. And then he was encouraged to say, this time, say, Lord, is this you? Speak, Lord. And his call to ministry was at that time, whenever he was just a small child. I really believe that there is a call on Dylan's life. The little guy that was standing here. Now, they had music playing behind him. They had the little choir and all that stuff helping him. But if you've ever heard any of this young man who was singing, you know that he's better than one that's I'm just saying. But he's started being recognized in the community for his voice. And the thing that I like so much about his voice is that he never draws attention. I've never ever seen him draw attention to himself. It's always quite the opposite. It's almost like he's almost embarrassed, you know, if someone recognizes him. And I kind of have a bad way of doing that kind of stuff. But I really believe with all my heart that young man will be leading worship. And I don't know if that's going to be in this house. I long to see him up there with the singers. Let me say that again. I long to see that little guy up here as one of the singers. And we have others that are just like this. And this little guy, who's the little guy that always jumps up here? It's your boy. What's his name? Gage. Gage? I believe there's a call on that little guy's life too as a preacher. I just want to say that to the church, okay? And we have others here that are prophetically inclined, and so I want to just encourage you all, speak into these young guys' lives and these little gals too, okay? Speak into their lives and you put stuff in them. I'll be forever grateful for David Clazing. When I was 8 years old, after I'd come to Christ, and he took an interest in me. He was my pastor. He took an interest in me. In those days, you know, churches get together. We would always go out to the Greenville City Park, and we would have, you know, hot dogs, and we'd have this, and sack races. I know nobody, the younger ones here, ask your grandparents what that stuff was. But sack races and three-legged races and stuff like that. And he would always come to me, David Clazing, Reverend Clazing, would always come to me, and he'd always say, I think you're going to win. He was putting stuff in me whenever I was just a little guy. And so you put things into these kids. You're already doing that with teaching and things like that. But you put things into these kids when you see them in the hallway, and when you see them, you introduce yourself, and then don't go crazy with it. It'll embarrass the daylights out of them. But you put things into these kids. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, this is Advent, or the coming of Jesus to planet Earth. And his coming was, is, and forever shall be God's definitive statement of, I think, what it says in John's gospel, actually, his definitive statement that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or did not overtake it or overcome it. Indeed, as John goes on to write in verse 9, he was the true light that coming into the world has lighted or enlightened every man. Now, does that mean everybody's going to be saved? No, that's not what that means. But it does mean this. We are without excuse of coming to God the Father through His Son, Jesus. We're without excuse. If you see a sunrise, if you see a sunset, if you see the leaves changing, you see the 40 inches of snow that's falling, if you see all kinds, you see these things, we're without excuse. This is a God thing that goes on. The very breath in our lungs is a God thing. He was the true light that has lighted every man. And when we come to a place where we understand that every man is really without excuse, we're without excuse when confronted with the gospel, this good news of great joy that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. We're without excuse when we're confronted and we say, no, I don't want that. This morning, you're going to hear the gospel. You've already heard the gospel. You've seen the gospel in these children. You've heard the gospel. You've sung the gospel in these wonderful Christmas carols. And if you leave today saying no to Jesus, well, as Michael preached on December the 1st, and we started lighting these candles in our heart, the prophecy candle that he spoke of on December the 1st, as it was lit in our hearts, we were encouraged to have hope. And he went to that wonderful passage in Isaiah 9, where it says in verse 2 of chapter 9 that the people who live in darkness will see, that's hope, will see a great light. And those who live in deep darkness, the light will shine on them, such that they would say one day, oh, he's wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He's my Prince of Peace. That's great hope. But know Jesus? You leave here today with rejecting Jesus? No hope. You understand that? You have no hope. Aren't you excited that I'm speaking today? I've just told you. Last Sunday, Michael, he lit the Bethlehem candle and encouraged us to faith Jesus. Well, what is faith? You know what it is. The writer of Hebrews, the preacher in Hebrews, he says it like this. Faith is the assurance of things, there it is, hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So to know Jesus is to have hope. To know Jesus is to faith him or to trust him, to have faith. But know Jesus, no hope. Know Jesus, nothing to trust in. There's no faith, no reason for faith. This morning we're going to hopefully have the shepherd's candle lit in our hearts, encouraging us to discover what real joy, I mean joy unspeakable, can be. We're told that in verses 9 and 10 that the angel came to the shepherds, and in verse 10 says, I bring you good news of great joy. Say that with me. Great joy. I'm not just talking happiness. You know, happiness is dependent on circumstances. Joy is in spite of our circumstances. You know, you can have joy and be terminally ill. You can have joy and be bankrupt. You can have joy and have no job. You can have joy and have messes all around you going on. But to know Jesus is to know joy. So I want us to talk a little bit this morning about the journey that we're on, this joy Advent journey. And let's see what this looks like through the eyes of a child.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem and that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing.
And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Yeah, that's quite a journey for those kiddos, wasn't it? Well, let's go on our own journey. And there are some key players in this journey, okay? The first that we need to be aware of is Mary and Joseph. Jesus, of course. But there's this innkeeper also. And I want to suggest to you, as I pretty much already have in some ways, that this coming of Jesus, this Advent church, became real joy for them. Verses 6 and 7 of Luke chapter 2, we're going to spend our time there for a moment, says this, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In two short verses, Luke tells us of the greatest birth in history. There's always debate at this time of the year of, you know, when did this happen? Couldn't have happened then because the sheep were out in the, you know, out in the field and it wasn't cold and all of this jazz. You know, when it happened, that's not important. That it happened is vitally critical. And it did happen. What joy that Joseph and Mary must have had for their firstborn. What an unthinkable thing, really. God coming to planet Earth, growing for 9 months in the womb of a 13 or 14-year-old girl. Is that just not unthinkable? Is that unthinkable? That's unthinkable to me. But it happened. And to think that his first few hours on planet Earth would be in a feed trough. Unthinkable that the Lord of all would be submitted to the lowliest of all births and birth conditions. But it did happen. Now you understand why my greatest joy was when I retired, I took a shotgun and shot my cell phone. Yeah. And if that keeps going off, I'm going to shoot another one. Just kidding. Just kidding. You have security for that. That's how their joy adventure began. But there is a second group in this journey, this joy adventure, and it's the shepherds. You know, it's amazing to me. Verse 8 just calls them some shepherds. It wasn't enough that this was the lowliest of entry-level jobs. Anybody can be a shepherd. The sheep are out there, just go out there and keep them all together. You know, there's one thing that sheep do really good. They follow. They follow. It's both wonderful, but yet I say unthinkable, that the announcement of Mary's firstborn and God's only born would come first to these lowly shepherds. Commoners, unplugged from society, really not participating in any of the temple rituals or any of those kinds of things, unless it was to provide an unblemished lamb for the sacrifice. But not that night, as they would see God's sacrificial lamb, who would take away the sin of the world to be born. Unthinkable. But it happened. Their joy adventure began. There's a third person in this journey. And he's just referred to as an angel. Like some shepherds. I don't personally think he was just an angel. For in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel, we're introduced to this angel. And after 4 or 5 times of calling him or referring to him, he says, whoa, wait a minute. I'm Gabriel. So I don't just think any angel. But it records this in verses 9 and 10. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Now, it's interesting to me because in the Greek, there are these two little words. And it's really not stood before, but rather stands beside. It means to stand beside someone. And so, you know, if you, I mean, this stuff really really is very fleshed out whenever I read God's word. And so I get the picture that, you know, the angels are all standing there and something's happening and they hear, I've got good news to share with you of great joy, which will be for all the people, that for you, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. The one and only, that's what Lord or Christ means, Christos, Kurios. The one and only is born for all the world, but born for you and you and you and you. He's born for us. And so as they heard this, I imagine the shepherd said, Who said that? You ever watch Hogan's Heroes? That's what you do when you're retired. You watch goofy things you never watched when you were this big. And you know, Sergeant Schultz, he comes in and he's bringing them all out in the yard and he's trying to make a count of all of the prisoners. He's doing the roll call and he goes, Ein, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben. Am I doing okay? Acht, neun, zehn. And he goes on and he gets down to the end and he counts one more than what he's supposed to have. And he says, wait a minute. I want to go over here. Ein, zwei, shepherds. Drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht. There's one more. One too many shepherds out here. This angel just standing beside them. You know, I think often when we see angels, we get this picture of these winged creatures with halos, and I know that's what the video, that's how they depicted these winged creatures. You know, goes an angel, another angel, and we can tell because they have shining clothes on, and they have halos and all of these kinds of things. You know, nowhere in Scripture do we ever see angels with wings. Now, I know you've heard me say that before, and invariably I'll have one or two of you, had one already this morning. Says, but when it says here that they flew swiftly, had a particular passage, flew swiftly, and I said, still didn't say they had wings. You know, maybe it was like a transporter type thing, you know, from Star Trek, where they, you know, and they're just gone. They're here and then they're gone. I don't know. Maybe that is how they get around. I have a list of 1,401 questions that I'm going to ask the Lord when I stand before Him. And one of those is going to be, I just want to know, do angels have wings? There they go. And if they have wings, that's cool. If they don't have wings, that's still cool. Really won't matter, right? I mean, this is kind of peripheral type stuff. But it just says, an angel of the Lord came and stood beside them and says, hey, you low of the lows, you common folk, you ones that are disconnected from society, I've got some good news to share with you. And it is going to give you so much joy. It's going to be the greatest joy that you're ever going to hear. You want to hear more about that? Well, Bethlehem down there. Go check out not the inn. It's full. Go check out the stable and see what you might find in that feed trough. Angels. They show up all the time in Scripture, Old and New Testament. And most often when they show up, they're called men. Not these winged things that we have. You know that stuff. I know, Matt, you've been to and Shelley, you've been to the Louvre in Paris. And some of the rest of you maybe have been there. My wife and I have had the privilege of traveling to Paris and seeing the Louvre. And you know, it's this Renaissance stuff. All these angels are like these little fat babies with wings, and they got halos and that kind of thing, and they're suspended in air. Every one of them are like that. The stuff that we typically understand about angels doesn't come from Scripture. It comes from art and all of these other things. So get an understanding of the Scripture about angels. I think this is critical for us today. Most often, they're called just men. In Genesis 18, I think it's 18, that whole Abraham and Sarah deal, you know, it says three men show up at the front door of Abraham and Sarah's tent. Abraham, 100 years old. Sarah, 90. No kids. And what do the three men announce to Abraham and Sarah? Well, they go, you're going to have a baby. And what kind of a response did that get from Sarah? Yeah, pfft, yeah, that's right, laughed. And so when she had her firstborn, Isaac, Isaac, laughter. That's what that means, laughter. Genesis 18, just three men showed up. They're there, and then they're not there. Or how about Judges 13? That's one I know you were meditating on this morning. We're introduced to Manoah and his wife. You know who Manoah was? Father of Samson. And so Manoah and his wife, we don't have her name, she's just out in the field doing whatever Manoah's wife out in the field normally did. And she's out in the field, and two men this time show up. They said, you're going to have a baby. She was old also. And it's really important that you eat this and this and this. Gave her a diet. And so she comes home. She's all ecstatic. She tells Manoah this. And Manoah says, you got to be kidding. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? You're old and wrinkly. And, you know, and she says, well, look who's talking. And so said, that's impossible. It's not going to happen. And says, tell you what, where is this guy? That's what he says. Where is this man that came to you? And so, as the story goes, then he gets a chance to meet and talk with him. Said, has your wife been on that strict diet? She been keeping the diet? I told her, I gave her, she's supposed to eat this and this and this. And said, because she's going to give birth to a son and he's going to be mighty. And we know Samson's story. And if you look at the New Testament, it's replete with angelic visitations. Even the end of Luke's gospel, as he writes, as they're coming to the empty tomb, there are two who? Men. Now they're in shining clothes, but no wings and halos and all that kind of stuff. Just two men. And they said, what are you doing here? I said, well, we're looking for our Savior. He was crucified and we buried him here. And said, do you see anybody? Go ahead and look in. Do you see anybody in there? He's not here. He's risen, just like he told you he was going to be raised. Now, I say all that to say this. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 2 says this. Be hospitable and kind for all people, all strangers, because who knows? Maybe you are entertaining angels unawares. I have this sense that visits from angels happen all the time in our lives. Now, it's just my opinion. You know, don't build your life on this. But I have had a fair amount of angelic visitations on the multiple trips to China that I've made. I won't go into those. The one that is the most one of the most unexplainable ones for me happened to my wife and I and our daughter. This past week, many of you know, it was the anniversary of losing our daughter. So it's been, you know, one of those kinds of weeks. But I was with my brother. I remember 3 or 4 months before she passed away, I was with my brother in Illinois. He was undergoing his first chemo treatment. And as he had just been taken back, my phone rang. Yes, I do answer my cell phone. My phone rang. And I noticed Cherish's name popped up on my phone. And so I, you know, that got my attention. So I answered the phone, and it was a man's voice on the other end of the phone. I think I've shared this story with you before. And he he proceeded to tell me that he said, "This is your daughter's phone. I have it because she's been in a serious car accident. And every time we pass the Hatton sign on our way eastbound towards Kingdom City, there's a Hatton sign that's there, Hatton exit, 1 mile or whatever it says. It was that sign that she clipped with this Z3 BMW that had been loaned to her by a car dealership here in town, her story had got his attention, and he said, "I want you to come down to the lot. I want you to pick out any car. It must be expensive, and it must be a convertible, because I want you to just ride with the top down and let the wind go through your hair." She was on some doses of morphine even in those days, and she was headed to Kingdom City to pick up her husband's check. And she lost control of the car and clipped that sign, and it was totaled. Only thing that was left in the car, this little sports car, was the seat that she was sitting in. The man says, "I'm a truck driver, and I worked as a corpsman or, you know, a medic in the Army." And he said, "I'm the first one here on this accident, and I have stabilized her. And I have called the hospital, and the ambulance is on the way." And I could hear the siren over the phone. And I said, "Well, what is your name? And I need your phone number to thank him." And he gave me, I'll not tell you, but he gave me his first name only and gave me his phone number. Do you know when the ambulance got there? There was no truck. There was no man. When she got to the hospital, there was no man. There was no truck. So that kind of blew us away. So we called the cell phone. No such number. Now you believe what you want to. We have no doubts that she was visited by an angel, a man. I have this sense that we entertain angels all the time. But we are so earthbound, so hung up in our own stuff, that we fail to connect with heaven when God is connecting with us all the time. How unthinkable that the God of the universe would want to have a relationship with me and with you, or with a teenage girl. How unthinkable to, for the first few hours of the God of the universe in skin would be laid in a feed trough. Is that not unthinkable to you? How unthinkable that there would be no room in the hotel. Now that dude that owned the hotel, he had to be full of joy too. I mean, how many times in little old Bethlehem is he going to sell out the room? And he didn't have any more room. "I'm sorry, I don't have any rooms." But how unthinkable that then a stable would be used for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe. What a journey. What a journey for this angel who was summoned out of all of the heavenly hosts to say, "I want you to be the one who goes to those shepherds and tell them a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord." When it happened, that's not important. But it did happen. And that's vitally critical to one more person in this journey. We've talked about Mary and Joseph, Jesus, the innkeeper, shepherds, an angel. But there's one more. You. You. You're on this journey. Luke's account of this first joy adventure began in verses 1 through 5 of Luke chapter 2. You know what was happening in those five verses? What was happening? A census. Thank you. A census was being taken. Do you know what's unthinkable to me? That the Lamb of God, His name would be written in our book of life, so that our names could be written in the Lamb's book of life. Has that happened to you? Have you come to the place where you've heard the gospel, the good news of great joy that will be for all people, but will be for you and you and you and me? I was 8 years old whenever I came to the place where I realized God loved me so much that He gave His one of a kind, His only born Son, to die for me and to live for me and to help me to live for Him from that day forward. 8 years old. You're probably a little older than that. Has that happened to you? You see, when that happens, that's not important. But it's vitally critical that it happens. And how terrible it would be for you this Christmas season when we celebrate the birth of the Savior, Christ the Lord, for Him not to be born in you. You need help for your difficulties in your life? No Jesus? No hope? No Jesus? No faith? No Jesus? No joy? But to know Jesus, that's joy. So I want to say, knowing You, Jesus, knowing You, there is no greater thing. You're my all, You're the best, You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love You, Lord. Do you know that little chorus? Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You. Knowing You. There is no greater thing. You're my all, You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. You're my all, You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. Sing it. You're my all, You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love You, Lord. You know, in closing, those shepherds, when they got the news for the first time, they saw that little boy. Scripture goes on to say in the latter part of chapter 2, I don't know, verses 15, 16, 17, somewhere around in there, says that they could not stop talking to each other. And there are two different kinds of verbs used in Greek. There's in Greek tense, there's one that it happens one time and it's done. And then there's another way of an ending you put on a Greek word, on a verb, to make it be that it's repetitious. It goes on and on and on. It just repeats. This is repeating in the Greek. It's very clear. They kept talking to one another. Couldn't stop talking about what they had just seen, what they had just heard. They just couldn't stop talking about it. And then later on it says that they kept not just talking amongst themselves. Are you with me? They're not just talking amongst themselves, but when they got out of the place, out of their comfort zone, they still couldn't stop talking. It says they kept glorifying and praising him. Repeated. Repetition. It's continuous action. They just kept doing it. Now, the sad part about it is, it only one time here in the latter part of in Luke's in this story is that as they were telling these things, it said the people wondered. That's not continuous. It wasn't that they wondered again and again. What are they saying? What did they say? What did that mean that they said? It said they wondered one time, went away, forgot it. But that didn't stop the shepherds. They kept talking about it in here. Are you with me? They kept talking about it in here, of what this Jesus being born in their life, what this meant to them, how it changed their lives radically. They kept talking amongst themselves. Then they kept talking about it outside. And it didn't matter if people weren't going to listen. They just kept talking. They just kept talking. So this Christmas, has he been born in your life? Don't stop talking. Don't stop talking in here. This is easy. But what about out there? What about out there? Yesterday, some of us with the Harley Davidson group here in the church were ringing bells for the Salvation Army at Bass Pro. And I noticed this lady, as she came up, her right foot was turned out. She was a young gal. And she was walking like this. And I thought, oh, man, she's stubbed her. Something's happened. She's hurt herself. I mean, she was struggling, grimacing on her face. And she came and she put a dollar in the, actually what it was now that I remember, I always take a bunch of $1 bills and I give them to kids, you know, kind of to shame the parents when they're coming in to spend $1,500 on an AR-15. I said, come on, dude, you ain't got a butt to put in the kettle. And I so I give it to a kid and really make them feel bad. You know, that's godly. Anyways, So I give them this kid, yeah, put the guilt on him, man, you know. So I get this kid, one of her little kids. I said, here, fold that tightly and put that in the kettle. And she's over there, and she said, this is really good what you're doing. And I said, well, I noticed that you're limping. I said, did you hurt your foot? And she said, well, when I was 7 years old, I had a stroke. And she said, I don't have full control over my right side of my body. And she said, and I noticed she had tremors. And I said, oh, you're shaking, you have tremors. Now people are coming and going, you know, and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe she was an angel. I just don't think angels are men, by the way. Maybe she was an angel. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just said, well, can I pray for you? And I said, now keep your eyes open because everybody will think we're sick. You're standing there, you know, like that. No, just keep your eyes open, just like we're having a conversation. Let me pray for you. She said, I would love that. And so right there, Bass Pro, I got a chance to pray for this lady. I'd like to be able to report to you that her foot went zip. And she had none of that. Didn't happen. It's not important, really. For me, it wasn't important. It was just important to be maybe this morning, to be faithful. But maybe today. That's exactly right, Mark. Oh, that we would live our lives like that. This Jesus who was born in us. That we would talk continuously amongst ourselves. Talk when we get out there. Because we know joy. Why? We know Jesus. Heavenly Father, be birthed in us today. In Jesus' name.
You know, God himself is on a journey in this world. Jesus was on a journey in this world. And his journey started when he was born. God's journey, God the Father, it began all the way back at creation. You see, we see in the opening chapters of the Bible the story of God's creation, the story of humanity's fall, and the story about how God will bring about redemption, about how God will restore that which is fallen to himself. And he does it through Jesus. And Jesus invites each and every one of us to join him on his journey, to be about the business that he is about. He gives us that call as individuals that we would join him, that we would walk with him. How many times does Christ say in the Gospels, "Come, follow me"? And he gives us that invitation as a people. You know, as a church, we are on a journey. Center Point, right here in Columbia, we're on a journey together. And our journey, it involves making a great impact on the community. It involves making a great impact on those around us for Christ. To do what Doug had said, not only talk about Jesus here, but to show Jesus to those outside of these walls. Now, one way that we are seeking to do this is through our Christmas offering. We're going to collect that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to remind you that the purpose of this offering is to exclusively fund our benevolence and our missions work for next year, for 2020, so that we can partner with the ministries around Columbia, around our nation, and even around our world in the wonderful things they are doing for God. Now, this morning, I want to introduce you to someone that is walking on a journey and bringing others along with her. And I want to invite her to tell us about that journey. Church, would you join me? Let's welcome Donna from Primrose Hill. Donna, come on up here. Come on right up here so we can see you. In the spotlight. I want you to take a few minutes, tell us about Primrose Hill. Tell us about the ministry up in Clark, Missouri, and tell us about the journey that is going on right there.
Holy cow, the journey. First of all, thank you, Pastor, for inviting us here today. So many things in the sermon this morning, Pastor, I don't know where you are, but thank you very, very much. The joy and the hope. That's what Teen Challenge is. I went through a Teen Challenge, and it totally has changed my life because I knew God, but I never had him with me at all. But it was because of a Teen Challenge that I have this relationship with God, and I do have joy in my heart every single day. Even on a bad day, he makes it a good day, and I know that whenever things gets rough and tough, I turn to my Heavenly Father, and he just pulls me through. And it might not be at that second, but he's going to bring me through. You know, he's going to be right there with me. So that's what Teen Challenge Primrose does with our ladies. My prayer for them, of course, is always to just continue. We help them build a foundation to open their hearts, to let them realize that they are somebody and they are loved. And God has so much for them. I can remember hearing them words and I'd hear them words, "Oh, you have your plans, but God has so much more for you." And I'd be like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." But he does. I came from, honestly, nothing. I mean, I was a nurse for 25 years, raised my children, but never knew God and thought I did it all by myself. But that was such a lie. God was right there the whole time, you know? So just, learning so much about God. And the ladies, that's what we do. We, throughout our lives, you know, we bury things and think we're on our own. Or through life, you get pushed down and things are really tough, and you make choices that just, oh gosh, push you down so low and think you're nothing. But at Primrose, we have our group studies and our personal studies throughout the day, and it helps the ladies to open up their hearts, bring out stuff that they've stuffed down for years and years, you know, and never have dealt with. So through the group studies, that helps them to bring it out. And then we also have in the morning, and that's when we do our group studies and personal studies. And we have people that come on in, pastors that come on in and do a devotional with the ladies in the morning. That's where we're really blessed. We haven't had this. Like before, we used to only have maybe one or two people that would volunteer. Now, Monday through Friday, every day for an hour to an hour and a half, we have somebody coming in and sharing the word of God to these ladies, and just helping them, speaking it in their language, in our language, because sometimes people speak above us, so we don't really understand it. But they come in, and they just give us the real truth about God. So we're honored there. Kayla, thank you for all you do with Primrose. Our parenting classes, she offers it to the groups as they come on in, and she does a parenting, golly, I've lost my thoughts, the parenting program. But yeah, so Primrose just is helping, you know, we're making disciples. God said, go out and make disciples. That's what we're trying to do at Primrose, and building a foundation so that they do get to know God and carry it on through to their lives. And one of the students really likes to share it with their children, you know, to bring it to their family.
Stay right here, stay right here. So Teen Challenge, a major aspect of it is helping women, Primrose Hill, helping women break through addiction on their journey to get out of addiction. What else goes on at Primrose Hill? I know there's personal classes and the group classes. What else happens up there?
Let me show you. What do you know? I just so happen to have some products with us. So from 1 to 4, the ladies do work therapy, and they make head-to-toe body wash, lotion, bar soaps. They make lip balm and sugar scrub and
good stuff.
Good stuff. Good smelly, yummy stuff. And this helps our ministry. We go to different services when we go, and the ladies will give testimonies, and we'll sell our product afterwards. So that helps us maintain Primrose.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And if you have any questions, would you be willing to hang out after service for a few minutes? Thank you. If you have any questions, please direct them to Donna. Primrose Hill is another organization that we would like to partner with to join the wonderful things that God is doing in our community beyond these walls. And so a few weeks ago, we started setting these out, and I asked everyone, and there's still time to do so if you haven't done it yet, to take one home, to put it on your fridge, and to pray, and to consider, how can you participate in the Christmas offering? How can you join us as we seek to bless those around us who are doing the work of God? We're going to collect that again today. If you don't have yours today, and if you haven't been able to give yet, that's okay, because we're going to do our Christmas offering every Sunday in December. So we'll have two more Sundays after today. But let's go ahead and collect this. Today's Christmas offering. If you're going to collect that, come forward. And church, we will pray together. Lord, we thank you for ministries such as Primrose Hill, such as Teen Challenge, that is seeking to make a great impact in a great area of need around us, God. Lord, I pray a blessing over them. I pray a blessing over this Christmas offering, God, that it would be another way that we can join you in this journey that you are doing, not only within our lives, but in our world as well. Would you bless it now, Lord? Amen. We'll collect our Christmas offering, and then we'll pray and dismiss here in just a minute or two. All right, church, would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for our time today. We thank you for the worship this morning. We thank you for the rich heritage of music that we have to enjoy, with the deep treasures of the gospel within them, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the children, for their song, for the gift that they gave to us to be able to enjoy their singing. For the message today, Lord, from the word from Primrose, Lord, would you bless all of it. God, there are many needs within our house, God. We need you to move within this world. Lord, we have several that call Center Point home. We have several that are wrestling with various medical issues. God, would you bring healing? We have several, Lord, that are wrestling with just feeling lost. Lord, would you bring them in? Would you save them, God? Lord, we have several that are wrestling, feeling despair, feeling a lack of hope. Lord, would you show them that you are their hope? And God, as we move forward for Christmas, I pray, God, that you would draw all of our eyes unto you, that we might see you high and lifted up. Bless us as we go about our day today, Lord. Amen. I want to offer the invitation. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward and we will pray. It is time to go get your kids, so please go and get them. Bless you, and we will see you next week.